Welcome to a growing place, Mission Woods Church. We're growing closer to God, to one another, and to our community. We're glad you're here. I'm Pastor John Murphy, and I am preaching this morning on a familiar passage if you've been in the Bible at all. It comes from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. But before we get there, let's go to God in prayer. Will you pray with me, please? Lord, our lives are full of distractions. We ask that you would give us the next several minutes as a reprieve from what is going on in our country, our state, and our communities. Let us take a deep breath, and for the next several minutes, breathe deep of your life-giving spirit. Open our ears to hear your message to us, our eyes to see your work in our midst, our hearts to feel your love for us and our neighbor, and our souls to share that love with all. Bind distractions from us as we seek you here in this time. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. I want to begin this morning with our scripture. Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew 5, verses, I'm going to start at verse 3, actually, through verse 12. And it's the Beatitudes from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. These are Jesus' words. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who hunger or who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't know about you, but I found this pandemic thing as the creator of a very long to-do list. I'm at home all the time, and I don't like being in one spot very long, so I go outside. And I've spent more time in the yard these past 3 months than I think I have in the past 3 years. And this is what would happen. I'd sit out on the porch or the back patio, and I'd look at the grass. And I noticed there were some bare spots. They're mainly the cause of some molehills, so I tapped those down. And then I had flat bare spots. And I noticed there was a lot of moss, so I put down moss out and then began raking. And even after raking, I was getting moss, so I dethatched my lawn. Now I had hardly any lawn left, so I put down some seed. It didn't grow, so I put down more. It didn't grow, so I put down more. And this time with those little cocoons around each seed, you know, the kind that feeds that plant, it still didn't grow. Then a friend said it needed more water, so I began watering it. And boy, howdy. Now I've got a lawn that I have to mow at least twice a week. And that's just the lawn. I've got plants growing all over the place. And then the back fence, it was crooked, so I fixed that. There were no rocks in the front flower bed next to the entryway to match our parking strip, so I picked up rocks in the bare spots in the lawn and I put them in that spot. There was no color. Well, Home Depot was having a sale, so I bought a bunch of flower baskets. We had birds, so now I have a bird feeder. On and on. And then there's the inside. Staring at the same walls day after day, you begin to notice the paint's not quite right here, and there's a crack in the window there. I need a new screen in that window, and you have time to take all the shelves out of your cabinets and clean them. That floorboard is out of place. The edging isn't straight. The door doesn't fit right. The doors don't match, and the list goes on and on. I fixed what I can, and now I think I'll need to win the lottery if I'm going to finish all the projects I've imagined, which will be a challenge because I haven't bought any lottery tickets, but my odds are still about the same. You know, this whole thing is sort of a domicile introspection, if you will. I'm looking much closer at my house and reflecting on where it is now and what I want it to be. Being at home this long is easy to see how we can all get a little stir-crazy. We turn on the television or the radio for some noise in the backgrounds, but we can also take the time to reflect on our own lives. When it comes to our lives, as we look inside, are things as we would want them to be? Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know, as I've considered the Beatitudes in my own life, I've often wondered, was Jesus speaking of different people and the qualities they had? Or are all the qualities one person? Are they supposed to be what one person is supposed to have? Personally, I've come to believe that Jesus is intending for his listeners to possess all of those qualities. I say that because of the conclusion in verse 3 and verse 10. It says, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven," in both those spots. Also, when I compare the list, poor in spirit, mourning, meek, hungry, and thirsty for righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, and persecuted for righteousness, that doesn't seem to be a great difference to the same call that we have, be holy, for I am holy. God's command, this was God's command to the Israelites back in Leviticus, be holy, for I am holy. You know, some Bible scholars, when they translate that word blessed or blessed, as it's here in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, some translate it as congratulations or happy are those. I like that because it puts the world's perspective on its head. Perhaps it's a reason for joy. The joy of James 1:2, where James writes, "Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds." I mean, it's a reason for joy to be poor in spirit, mourning, meek, hungry, and thirsty for righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, a peacemaker, while all the time being persecuted for being so. Doesn't it fit that what we know of the fruits of the Spirit that Paul talks about in Galatians 5:22-23? Paul wrote this. He says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." I believe it does. As we look into ourselves, we have the time to seriously consider the call to Jesus Christ. Are we living what we say we believe? That's a hard question to ask ourselves, but we've got some time to consider it. E. Stanley Jones had a conversation with Gandhi. He asked this. He said, "Mr. Gandhi, though you quote the words of Christ often, why is it that you appear to so adamantly reject becoming his follower?" Gandhi responded. He said, "Oh, I don't reject Christ. I love Christ. It's just that so many of you Christians are so unlike your Christ. If Christians would really live according to the teaching of Christ as found in the Bible, all of India would be Christian today." One of the things that I believe this time has been good for me personally, is I've been having the time to dig into God's Word. I've been having the time to spend time in prayer and seeing where God is calling me to. I've been praying, repenting, confessing. And as I take that time for introspection, you know what? That can lead you as well to repentance, confession, and transformation. That change is visible to others. I hope it is visible to those around me. This striving to be holy does not remove us from our world, but it causes us as transformed beings to look outside ourselves at the world. So let's look out. During the past 2 weeks, we have all seen the world seemingly explode in protests all around us. A call for racial equality once again is being heard in our streets and on our televisions and around the world. In our country, where people are already so divided over so many different issues, many have described it as a powder keg waiting to explode. As we feel the pain, our spirits are grieved. We mourn. We feel powerless. We hunger and we thirst for righteousness. I would also hope that we are merciful as we listen, that we would approach every conversation with a pure heart, and as the church be working for peace and reconciliation, where all God's children are lifted up to life in Christ. There is pain in the world. It's all around us. I hear the questions being asked, who will win? And how will they be defeated, where they is defined as those you disagree with? You know, it's not just about George Floyd. It's not just about the police. It's not just about the Confederate statues. It's not just about oppression. It's not just cultural differences. It's not just about inequality. It's not just about criminal justice. It's not just about poverty. It's not just about systemic racism. It's not just about Black Lives Matters. It's not just about white privilege. And I realize that even listing some of these elicits a reaction in people. It's also not just about emotions. It's not about right and wrong. It's not about any particular ethnic race. It's not about you. In fact, it's not about you at all. It's not about me either. It's about looking up. I've been listing these things Jesus calls us to be, poor in spirit, people who mourn, meek, etc. But we haven't talked about why. What does that do? What does it do for us? What does it do for others? The list is positive for the most part. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven, comfort, the earth's. Satisfaction, mercy, to see God, to be called sons of God, and a great reward in heaven. This sounds very much like what Paul wrote to the church in Colossae. We read in Colossians 3, 1 and 2, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." Later in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, we read, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." If we go back to the church, Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, Colossians, we read this: "Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all." He goes on, he says in verse 12 and 13, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." And in verse 14, he says, "And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." Christians are called to live counterculturally. We have to live counter to our own sin. From the beginning, sin has been a source of fear. In the garden, Adam and Eve heard the Lord walking in the garden, and they were what? They were afraid. And so what did they do? They hid themselves. There's a lot of fear in our world today. A friend recently went up to Seattle not to protest, but to pray. In fact, he went to the autonomous zone even and prayed with people there. He and a few friends, they went not to be heard, but to listen and to pray. They prayed with protesters. They prayed with police and firefighters. And they prayed with people who were just hanging out. One of his friends was praying with a firefighter when another Christian approached her and joined in the prayer. When the prayer was done, he said to her, "I was praying this morning. Where are all my brothers and sisters in Christ? Where is the church in the midst of all this?" I want to encourage you, I want to encourage you to keep your eyes fixed on Christ. You, as followers of Jesus, as a disciple of Jesus, you are the disciple Jesus loves. This is what Jesus says to you. "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And I'm going to close with these two verses from Matthew. You, Missionwoods Church, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Let's not live in fear of COVID-19 or in fear of the unrest we're seeing in our world. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's spend time praying for God to be glorified in all that is happening around us. Pray that you might be an instrument of God's peace in a fractured world. Go out into that world and take time to listen. Remember, it's not about you. It's not about your opinion. It's about God. You are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Be blessed. Be happy. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Lord, we lift up our eyes to you, for you are the source of our help. You are the one who knows us deeply. We are your servants, Lord. Help us to put away our old selves, to put to death what is earthly in us, and put on, as God's chosen ones, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, and love. Let us shine your light to a world lost in darkness. We pray this to you, our Lord and our God. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening to that message. I want to share a couple things with our congregation. One is we have a congregational meeting on, this says June 14th, but it's actually next week. It's June 21st. It's for the election of elders. So that will be an online Zoom meeting Sunday, June 21st. From 11:30 to 12, and the only purpose of that is the election of elders and deacons. So please watch your email. You will be getting a list of the nominees, and remember, you are able to bring others as nominees. We ask that you ask them first. It's always a nice thing not to scare somebody, but to really recognize them as spiritual leaders. We also want to let you know that if you have a prayer request, we are people of prayer. Mission Woods Church prays. And so if you have a prayer request, please call us. You can leave a message at this number, or you can email us at this email. And if you're seeking to give an offering, we're doing a distance offering as our church is closed, our church building is closed, but you're still able to give a weekly offering or monthly or however you're doing it. Just send a check to Mission Woods Church at our P.O. Box 296 in Milton, Washington, 98354. So I want you guys to have a great week. You can follow us on Facebook, and you can be a part of our church group. You can go to faithlife.com/Mission Woods Church. We'd love to see you there. You can find out things that are going on around the church, as well as if you're a member of our church, we have some software that we'd like to send to you for Bible studies and just some really cool tools that you can have. We hope to see you next week. Take care now. Bye-bye.